All good morning and welcome to the Gunsmith Show, right here on US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock. And Jonathan Smith, the Gunsmith, every Saturday morning, 8 till 9, right here on US 103.1. We talk guns, we talk all kinds of things.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to talk this segment, AR-10, AR-15.
Yeah.
What's your druthers?
There you go.
That's a great
good
word.
Way to put
druthers.
It. Druthers is a great word.
Love it druthers.
It reminds you of yesteryear. You know, hear things like, you know, druthers. That's a good
exactly.
word.
Exactly. You know what reminds me of yesteryear as well?
What's that?
Diamond Jim's Tire and Automotive. Since 1977, keeping folks on the road.
Yep. And quality service all the way. That's the main thing, is getting your car fixed up the way you need it, especially with the price of gas the way it is.
Oh,
you want your tires right. You want your car running good. Get your oil changed, lube, all that kind of stuff. Get it done so you're ready to go. Diamond Jim's right on Dort Highway in lovely Burton, Michigan, 810-743-4210. Now, they're just south of Bristol Road on Dort Highway. Easy to find. Iconic place. Been there for a long, long time, and the service is outstanding. I've put a lot of miles on my car in the past week, back and forth between here and Toledo, Ohio, over and over again. And
well, that was a
right
trip
on the
that was
work.
Well worth it.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly was. My my son got his new kidney. You know, he's on the list at U of M for a year and a half, and was officially on the list at University of Toledo Medical Center, I think for 11 days, and he got a kidney.
But wasn't it buy one, get one free?
No, they only get one.
They only get one. Oh, yep. So they do it for two people.
But they
so we're saving two lives.
Yep, exactly. And
of course, it's bittersweet.
It is.
When you texted me, you were praying for the young man who lost
family.
His life. Yeah, and their family.
Yeah, it's tough to deal with. Jake had a lot of guilt right off the bat. He's like, I don't know, Dad. Should I do this? And I'm like, well, you don't. They're offering you the choice of life for you. The other person's done with those organs. And since then, I have just been bombarded with people thanking us for doing it and finding out, you know, how many people we know have had transplants of different types. One of our friends had a 3-organ transplant, lungs, pancreas, and kidneys, I think.
They did the whole 150,000-mile maintenance plan.
Yeah, and that was 24 years ago.
Wow.
She's doing
holy
great.
Mackerel. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, 24 years ago. And they have some sayings like, don't take your organs to heaven with them because heaven knows we need them down here, you know? And that's a good saying. So,
for sure.
Strong advocate of kidney transplant and donations. Donate your organs if you can. Check that list on your driver's license. You will be saving lives. So, Jake's been very successful this week. He got his new kidney. And immediately it turned on and started working. And literally 4 hours after he got really out of that groggy state, he was wanting to talk guns with me. And he just it just clicked. It just turned on. I'm like, you're still messed up from the propofol or whatever they gave you. And he goes, I just feel like I got a new life here, you know.
New lease on life. And, yeah. What a blessing.
He's got some healing up to do. He's got to be careful where he's going to carry his gun from now on because he's got a big incision.
Oh.
But he's doing great. And
fantastic.
Can't wait to get past the quarantine part of this whole thing and get back to living. So he said, hey, this gives us time. I said, yeah, it gives you lots of time. You're going to be off work for a long time and healing up. He goes, yeah, but now we can build those AR-15s we never had time to build before. And it's been like probably 6 years since he and I put an AR-15 together. And we used to build them all the time. We'd build, every couple months we'd build one. And we have 4 receivers ready to go.
Mm.
And they're all consecutive serial numbers. So it's really cool. Oh. So we're ready to build 4. And just have a ball with them, and that's sitting at the kitchen table work. You know, we'll have masks on, and because I got to wear a mask around them all the time, and so it's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to spending some quality time with them. So, but today we are going to talk about AR-15s and AR-10s, and the question of the day is, which one will it be for you? And I say it like that because I mean it like that, because it's AR doesn't stand for automatic rifle. It doesn't stand. It's America's rifle, and it really is. And now you know the AR-10 actually came first. The in the late 50s and early 60s was when all this lightweight, almost like futuristic gun work started happening. We were still using guns from World War II, heavy 30 carbines. The M1A, which is a big, heavy 9 or 10 pound 308, and we need a lighter weight battle rifle. And the ARs were developed. Now, the first one came, the AR-10, the Armalite rifle. It was the in 308, and it's quite a rifle. It was an amazing concept. You see the pictures from the late 50s and early 60s of Eugene Stoner holding his guns and showing them off. And President Kennedy really, really pushed this hard. And by the time 1962 rolled around, the AR-15 was the choice. It was lighter. You could hold more ammo. You could less recoil. The soldiers could carry more ammo on their person. It was light. The gun only weighed, you know, like 6 pounds, 5.5 pounds, and it was simply more affordable. There was less cost, less metal, less everything. It was just a smart gun. A lot of aluminum, a lot of plastic. Which took a lot of people in America by surprise that we would go to this kind of ugly black gun. But boy, did it take off. You know, it didn't happen fast. 10 years later, when I roughly saw my first one at Williams Gun Sight and was able to handle it, it inspired me to want one. And I've certainly fulfilled that need time and time again. But they are a lot of fun to deal with, and these AR-15s of today are so well refined now that they're basically 60 years old. The design is 60 years old. The guns are just so adaptable and so variable and to fit you in any way. They have left-handed versions. They have right-handed versions. They have side-actuated, meaning there's a more like a standard rifle. You'd use your right hand. A right-handed person would use your right hand, pull the action back, and let it go. The ARs have always had a top a feed system where you have a motion of pulling back the slide with two fingers, a two-fingered grip, and sometimes people didn't like that. They kind of thought that was a little much. It was what if you're hurt? How do you cock it if you're hurt? How do you? Where with the side actuated versions that are out there now, you could put it against a tree and rack it if you had to, or hook it on your belt loop or something to rack it to get that next shell cleared or get a bad shell out of the chamber. So just a ton of stuff to choose from with these. But now the AR-10, like I said, came first, and it wasn't 308. It was heavier, it was bigger, it was more powerful. It had better range, it had more recoil. But the size and the price and the recoil led us to the AR-15. Now, the AR-10s are still around. They're just not near as popular here in America as you would think they would be. The 308 being an American round, a good round, they're still prevalent, but they're not near as popular as the AR-15s. Now, both of these guns have got it's basically like opening up a cookbook. You can choose any page and decide to cook it, meaning you can take this gun and you can adapt them to just about anything you want to do. The modern cartridges of today, smaller can be big and big can be small. They're the ability to make these things subsonic, meaning the bullets are traveling slow and you can suppress them or hype them up to hyperspeed guns. Unbelievably simply the simple task of changing these upper receivers, and you've got the basic lower part of the gun, which is the frame, which has the serial number. That's the part that's registered to you. So that's why you have to buy them from a dealer, and you have to you can't buy one and inscribe your own serial number in it. That's ghost gun crap. You don't want to do that. So you want to get the receiver and then build a gun or start with a full gun and go from there. And then you can modify it and change the upper anytime you want to a different caliber. So,
you ever put dual hemis on them?
there is some real interesting things. I mean, literally you can go from a 22 long rifle, which is a little tiny, you know, 22 to a 50 Beowulf,
right,
which is a 12.7 by 42 millimeter cartridge. I've showed you those before in here.
Yep.
Big, big cartridge, 50 caliber bullet, all in this AR-15, which Eugene Stoner back in the day probably was like, no, this is going to shoot 223s and 5.56s. But no, they have certainly changed. So the history of the 223 is, in America, we always kind of considered it a plinker. And I know back in the day, you know, after watching John Wayne and 30-30s and, you know, from Western era and into the 30-06s of World War I or World War II, 308s, the 30 carbine, a lot of people consider that a plinker too, but it was a massively used round for World War II and the Korean War. But the armed forces chose this AR-15, 1963, basically, and it was ordered into production for special forces and for advisors, so-called advisors in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So they only ordered 8,500 rifles. They were replacing the M14s, which I've already told you about that, how big and heavy they were. So now the difference between the AR-15s and the ones you can buy today, the ones that we buy are semi-automatic. The ones that they made for the Army or the Air Force and the Army back then was M16s with selective fire. They were selective fire between fully automatic and single in semi-automatic. So a lot of different choices, but if you have one of those originals, hopefully you have it properly registered because it is a fully automatic weapon. You have to do it right. So today's civilian AR-15s are considered most popular as 5.56 or 223, but they are available in so many cartridges now in different compatibilities. It's amazing. You can make the gun fit your need. You can do it in 300 blackout, 6.5 Grendel, 6.8 SPC, which is special purpose cartridge. Basically, it's a 270 in an AR-15, a 350 Legend, the 400 Legend, the 450 Bushmaster, and up and coming the 338 ARC, which is a great round, and more 6mm ARC, the 50 Beowulf, 7.62 by 39. It's amazing. And I only covered half the loads that are available in that gun. So just amazing how many different things you can do with an AR-15 rifle these days.
We'll keep talking about some of that when we return. It's the Gunsmith Show right here on US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock. Back after this.